There is no thief like a bad book. This is God Unlimited of the University of Healing, University of Philosophy, with the Absolute Philosopher here in Capel, California. There is no thief like a bad book. We might enlarge that a little bit. There's no thief like a bad video. There's no thief like a bad relationship. There's no thief like a bad experience. Now, who's calling things bad? Well, if we ever read a book just because we started it, we are very foolish. If we ever read a book without realizing what the book is all about, we're very foolish. If we ever have a relationship with a friend without knowing what the friend stands for, what the friend means, what the friend's attitudes are about life, we are very foolish. If we do not get married to someone who we thoroughly understand 100% as a wonderful, marvelous, joyous person, we should never get married. If we have children who are not exceptional, outstanding, most remarkable beings on the face of the earth, we should never have children. Now, what comes along with that? If we have chosen the most exceptional spouse in the world and got married, then there's nothing to change. There's only to enlarge our understanding and enlarge our enjoyment of sharing with one another. That's a beautiful thing. And the wife or the husband is neither better nor worse than the other. Each offers their own genius to the relationship, and it's wonderful. Now, the children that come from that relationship have to be outstanding, have to be remarkable. If they're not remarkable, it's because one of us has not been remarkable. One of us does not express that remarkability. Or maybe the two. Maybe the two. There's no thief like a bad book. Now, what is it that we mean by saying a bad book and it being a thief? Well, it steals our time. It steals our attention. And it implants in us that we can be stolen from. That we can, that we're possessed by things that can be removed from us. Now, you see, it's quite a broad field when you talk about a thief and a bad book and things like that. It's a very broad field. Now, the Absolute Philosopher likes to think in broad fields. Consider what you would do if you were going to a movie and you saw the movie was not harmonious with your attitude of life. Would you make excuses and get up and leave? Or would you just get up and leave and go and sit in the lobby and wait until the movie is over? Or what would you do? Or would you not go to the movie in the first place? Would you always investigate your movies? They have codings for movie, telling parental guidance, telling various age levels that movies are desirable for. And I've seen some of the movies where parental guidance is called for, and the parents shouldn't even be there. And I've seen some movies that are for children, which have so much anger and so much unhappiness in it, and so much sorrow and sadness in it. The princess is destroyed, and the king is robbed and taken advantage of, and things like that. Oh, these are traditional stories that are here to teach us. The fairy tales teach us all sorts of wonderful truths. Well, it's unfortunate that we have to learn wonderful truths by unhappy things. It's unfortunate that we have to learn wonderful truths through the use of anger, meanness, hatred, stealing, murder, all those wonderful things that are accepted in fairy tales. Now, that starts out in the beginning. Now, have you ever wondered about them? Rock-a-bye baby in the treetop, when the bough breaks, the cradle will drop. What a thing to sing to your child, that such an unfortunate situation could happen to him, that his cradle could fall out of the tree. Fortunately, we don't have children in cradles and trees nowadays, but we do have them in their own bedrooms, and sometimes we sing these old fairy tale songs to them, and we don't really know what the meaning of those songs are. We don't really pay attention to how deep they are. My son oftentimes chided me as I was working in my office and working in my study, and he would come in and say, "Dad, do you know what you're listening to?" And I said, "No, it's just background music." He'd say, "Well, listen to the words once and see if that's what you really want to put into your background." A wise boy. So I listened, and it was words that I was not interested in having in my consciousness under any circumstance. And yet, the melody was so pleasant, the words sort of floated in around, and I wasn't paying attention to them, but they were there. They were there. Today, we had one of our lectures, and during the lecture, one of our participants was reading some other literature. And that participant said to us many times that she can only concentrate on one thing at a time, that when she's eating, she concentrates on that, and when she's sitting at the table, she concentrates on that, and if she's talking to one person, she can't concentrate on what other people are saying. Now, truly, we cannot concentrate on what other people are saying, but we can be aware of what other people are saying. Now, because she was reading something when I was giving a talk, she didn't hear what was coming on in my talk. Oh, she protested, she heard, and she understood. But you see, if she truly was reading it, as I saw her reading it with tremendous attention and with tremendous forced listening to what she was reading, so she wouldn't be disturbed by what I was saying, she was not hearing both things. She could not. You see, we protest that the things we're doing are not thieves that are robbing us of our time, thieves who are robbing us of the attention that we should be giving to something. Every morning, as we have our morning talks, I record them before we go in to breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and then I record them once again onto the computer at breakfast, and then I record it a second time on the computer where it's moved into the Thought for Today page. And so the people who are there are hearing it twice, and they're hearing it with a very strong, firm voice, with a beautiful attitude, and they're not hearing it with the idea that I'm speaking to them. I'm speaking to a topic, and as I speak to a topic, I speak more deeply and more powerfully than when I speak to them. Because when I speak to them, their own lack of experience in a particular area I might be talking about brings curiosity, and they sometimes project a question in their minds which changes the direction of the talk, which is not bad, but it does change the direction of the talk. So when I pre-record them, as I do each morning, then the talks are far more definite, far more challenging, far more interesting, and far more of what I really want to say. Now, speaking before people is always exciting. But when you speak before people, you are speaking before people to share with them ideas that they want to hear. And so you listen to their consciousness to see how they're receiving the information that you're getting. And when you do that, you sometimes pull everybody back into an understanding of where the one or two people are who might not be getting the deeper concepts of what you're talking about. And that in itself is okay. However, what I'm talking about right now is that when we read a bad book, when we read a book that we would not recommend for anybody else to read, then it is a thief that is stealing our time. And our time is one of the most precious things we have in the world. Even though there is no time, all time is now. Even though in absolute realization we do not think about these things, but in absolute realization we are these things. We listen to the divine within us. We listen to who we really are. And we don't read other people's ideas. We don't read other people's thoughts, because they are just a challenging, delightful diversion from our own inner pathway, our own inner work. I find so many people who ask me the question, what books have you read that brought you to this level of your consciousness? And I can say, well, I read this book, that book, and tell them a couple of dozen books or a couple of hundred books that I've read. And I say, they did not bring me to this consciousness. What those books really did, if they did anything at all, was to discourage me on those books. Because in each of those books, the author was bringing a point very wonderfully and very powerfully, but leaving you wanting, leaving you feeling there's something missing here. What is missing? What is the real problem? And in finding the real problem and finding something missing, it is quite something to consider. So think about these things. Realize these things. Understand these things. My goodness, I just dropped the tape recorder here. Think on these things and understand these things. Know these things, because this is what is truly very important for each of us. To be ourselves, to live in the divine path that we are, and to know at all times that who we are is wonderful and good and very good. Think on these things. There's no thief like a bad book that steals our time. Because as a human being, time is very precious. We only have 24 hours each day to enjoy. As a divine being, time is without limit. But right now, we're talking about our human attitudes. And so, I suggest to each person who hears a talk or listens or finds themselves in a circumstance, pay attention to it. It may have something to say that is quite significant to you, quite beautiful. It might just answer the particular thing that's on your mind at that time. Think on these things. That's why I say them. I love you. I love you. I love you.